Hello, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Increasing the Body. One message that is repeated in many of Paul's letters to the early churches was regarding the body of Christ in the earth and how every born-again child of God holds a unique place in his body. Each of us has an individual responsibility to discover our place in his body and do the things necessary to grow and develop spiritually in order to qualify to fulfill our place in his body. If we'll do this, God's ultimate goal in the earth can be realized, which is the increase of his body. I hope that you'll enjoy this message. I'd like to begin with prayer. God, you're so wonderful. Father, we're just so grateful for Jesus, for our redemption. We're so thankful for what Jesus has bought and paid for on our behalf. Thank you, God. Thank you for delivering us from all of the power of darkness. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost who has come and is living inside of us and has immersed us with himself. Glory to God. Father, this evening, we lean on you. We rest in you. We rest in the ministry of the Holy Ghost to teach us. And we believe that we receive tonight the message that you have for us. And we arrest any power of darkness that would try and bring any distraction or disturbance in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here recently, in the last few messages, I have been teaching out of the first letter to the Church of Corinth. And what I did this week in preparation for this evening, I kind of force-fed myself 1 Corinthians. And what I mean by that is I would listen over and over again to the recorded version of 1 Corinthians. And a point that I want to make here at the beginning, something a friend of mine reminded me of, and I was so glad that he did. He reminded me that we as preachers, frequently, we will talk about the importance of reading the Word. And this individual that I talked with, He struggled with reading the Word, and consequently, because of his learning disability, he was unable to read it, and so he didn't read it. And all he went by was what other people told him the Word said, their doctrine, their belief, their opinions. And so he had all kind of opinions. And finally, Debbie was able to get the Bible on his cell phone so he could listen to it. And I have to tell you, it changed his life. Getting the Word of God inside of him, whether by reading it, or your eyes are looking at the black ink on white paper, or you listen to it. So you're getting the Word inside of you. Either way, it's so important that you get the Word of God inside of you. And now he's come to the place, the friend I'm describing, where he can read the Word himself. And, you know, this is a miracle. And it started with him listening. So back to what I was saying earlier. This week I was force-feeding myself 1 Corinthians. And I would listen to it over and over again. And the one thing that I have discovered over the years, the Word of God is particularly a letter like 1 Corinthians. You know, there's the words on the page that you can simply read, and you know you can see what Paul's saying, or whoever the writer is, or what the Holy Ghost through that person is saying, but under. Within those words, there is an entire mind, an entire idea, concept that God is wanting to get over to us. And if we just focus on a verse here or a verse there, or maybe we look at one chapter of a whole letter, or one verse or a few verses of a whole letter, we miss what the underlying theme is of that entire letter. And in some cases, we distort what the real message is because we kind of pick and choose what verse we like or what verse we're going to focus on. So we focus on a singular verse or verses, few of them, and in focusing on them, we miss whatever that the theme is or whatever that underlying message is that God's trying to get over to us in the letter. And so we distort it. And, you know, and I've seen this time and time again where I'll listen to a preacher and they will have, you know, they went to maybe one of their favorite little passages or a couple of different passages from a couple of different books. And they kind of thread these verses together in a way that whatever point they're trying to make, they can make their point. But they have distorted, they have destroyed the real image in the letter or the book to the point that who knows what the letter was really intended to do. So as I was listening to 1 Corinthians, you know, I was kind of reflecting on the things that God has been teaching me and what I've been sharing here recently out of 1 Corinthians. And as I did that, you know, something began to kind of rise to the surface out of that book, out of that letter. And it was, and I'm not trying to suggest that this is the full revelation of 1 Corinthians, by no means. This is just what was coming up to me out of listening to it over and over again. What was rising to the surface was the Paul was trying to point out to the church at Corinth a personal responsibility that we as individuals, members of the body of Christ, that we individually have our own personal responsibility to fulfill what God has called us to do, called us in His body, whatever part that is, to fulfill. You know, He started out, and we're not going to try and dissect the whole book of 1 Corinthians, but just let me point out a few highlights just to kind of begin to paint the picture. When Paul began the letter, what was he addressing? He was talking about how this church of immature believers, how they were all gathering together behind individuals. And they were elevating, you know, a person, whether Apollos or Paul or Cephas. They were collecting, you know, like identifying with this person, this preacher. We identify with him. We're collecting around him. So that's how Paul starts this. And he's identifying this as a problem. He didn't say, oh, this is wonderful. You know, just keep doing that. That's great. No, that was a problem. He was identifying that to this church and saying, you shouldn't be doing that. So think about this. If it's not correct for us to gather around certain individuals and ministers and you know, elevate whatever they're teaching or elevate their ministry and you know, just basically say, look, all of the spiritual work, we're just going to let this guy do it and we're going to soak off of it and you know, whatever he says, that's going to be, that's fine. That's, we'll believe that. Yeah. Apparently, Paul was recognizing that this is a problem, and we need to address it now. We need to point out to the individual that there is an individual responsibility in the body of Christ that needs to be fulfilled. Now, yeah, I've taught about the body of Christ, and I've talked about the individual's responsibility. But it just seemed to become clear to me that this whole letter of 1 Corinthians was geared towards pointing out to the individual believer the responsibility that each one of us has. And we all do have this responsibility of finding and fulfilling our place in the body of Christ. Yeah, you know, I heard a preacher that this past week that was talking about the it was very funny because the way he described it was very similar to the way that I've described this in the past. He was talking about the will of God, and he was talking about that there is a set, unchanging will of God for every individual believer. Well, what is that, Mark? That is the Word of God. Unchanging. This is God's will for every person. His Word is His will for us. And it'll never change. But then you have the, and I like to refer to that as the static will. Static meaning non-changing. Then you have the variable part of God's will. And you say, well, how can it be variable? How can it change? God doesn't change. Well, no, God doesn't change, but we live in a world that's ever changing. And we live in this world where people have an influence on our life. Their decisions affect us whether we like it or not. And then we have our own decisions. So there's so many variables. And so as we walk through this life, the static, unchanging will of God, His Word, we can always hold on to as our anchor. And as we're holding on to that and we're walking with God, there is the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And that leadership is going to guide us through all of the different changes that we experience through this life. Maybe you lost a job unexpectedly. Maybe you were fired unexpectedly. And now you're kind of in a lurch, you know. And so now, you know, am I just completely out of God's will? Can I ever get back in it? You know, well, of course you can follow His will from whatever place that you're at. You can allow the Holy Ghost to direct you. And many times He directs you by desire, the desire that you have to go one way or another. You can follow that just as easily as anything else and know that it's God when you're committed to Him, when you have His Word going on the inside of you. You can trust that He is influencing your desires, and you can follow that. So the point again that I want to get back to is about the individual's responsibility in finding and fulfilling the will of God for our life, finding and discovering what place we hold in His body. See, that's one thing, that's one little change to what I heard that preacher talking about that I like to include when I talk about the set will of God for an individual's life. Yes, we can say the Word of God is His will for us, and it's set. There's no doubt about that. But on an individual level, there is a set will, and it's the place in the body that God has called each individual to fulfill. That's set. It's never going to change. Whatever He's called you to do in His body, it's set. How you fulfill that, that's variable depending upon the decisions, depending upon the speed in which you go through the qualifying process for him to be able to use you. See, there, you have a direct influence on that. No, everything's up to God. No, it's not. God's not forcing anybody to pray or to read their word, the word of God, to spend time with him, to fellowship. He's not forcing you to do any of that. So consequently, if you're not doing it, you're not growing. You're not changing. You're not developing. You might say, well, that's just all up to God. No, it's not. What was up to God was what he called you to fulfill in his body. How you do that, what rate of speed you fulfill that, it depends on the rate of speed in which you spend your life in fellowship with him, talking, communing, reading his word, letting his word go inside of you, that changing process. Because he's not going to throw you out to the wolves. He's not going to try and promote you before you are qualified to be promoted. And I'm not talking about just a five-fold ministry person. I'm talking about any person. Because we're all called to a place in God's body. And in each one of us, no matter what place in his body that we've been called to fulfill, each one of us has a responsibility to go through the process of qualifying for him to use us in fulfilling that place that we've been called to in his body. Amen? So, in 1 Corinthians, the verses that he used to draw my attention to what I'm describing is very common verses. Right in the middle of 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter, you know, he has laid out a lot of these ideas in the chapters leading up to the 12th chapter. You know, he's talked about in the third chapter. He talked about the immaturity of these people in verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, this is chapter 3, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So right there, you know, he's saying, you're not taking responsibility for yourself. I mean, in so many words, that's what he's saying. In previous chapters, he identified the fact that they were very willing to rally around Apollos and Cephas and Paul. They were very willing to you go get them, Paul. Yay, Paul! you go take care of the devil for us, and we'll sit back here on our laurels and you take care of all that. And I think that's the problem with a lot of the body of Christ. We want to just live our life, let somebody else do the spiritual stuff, and we'll just rally behind you, and we'll think we'll cheer for you, okay? We'll cheer. That God's not interested in having a bunch of cheerleaders. And Paul right here said, your problem, Corinthians, is your bottle-sucking babies. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you're not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. You weren't able before. You're still not able to bear it. And why is that? It's because you, Corinthians, have not accepted responsibility for your own spiritual development. You have refused. You've refused to take responsibility. You're laying it all off on Paul and Apollos and Cephas, you're laying it all off on them, and you're not accepting it for yourself, and consequently, you're still babies, and you're always going to be babies. And it, you know, the same thing holds true for any one of us. We're all where we are because of the decisions that we individually have made. There you go. You are where you are, spiritually speaking. The place of development spiritually that you're at, it's because of the decisions that you've made. You know, have you devoted any time whatsoever to growing and developing and fulfilling the place in the body of Christ that God's called you to fulfill? Any time at all. I mean, any time. You know, just a service here or there is not going to do it. And God is expecting us to take responsibility, and that's what Paul is saying in this letter. So here we have it, his statements here about the bottle-sucking carnal babies in chapter 3. He progresses, he deals with some other issues, but then we find here in the 12th chapter, he's talking about what? He's talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about the individual place in the body that each one of us has been called to fulfill. Every single one of us. And it's up to us to fulfill it. So, you know, going back to where I started here this evening, as I've been listening over and over to 1 Corinthians, just listening to the book, this is what has begun to rise to the surface. Place, your place in the body. What is that place? What has God called you to do? What is it? And the one thing that stood out to me as the Holy Ghost has started to reveal this to me is in this chapter, look at this. Verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Notice that. He repeats himself. One body. One body. One body. We're all part of one body. We've been baptized into this body. You have a place in the body of Christ that's uniquely yours. And I don't want to miss this point. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So, this is what began to really materialize in my spirit. How we as members of God's body, how we look at ourselves, we focus on ourselves, and in doing so, we don't appreciate the fact that we have a unique part in His body. And it's not based on this physical person. You see, we look at ourselves. We focus on the person that we know so very well, this outer man. You know, we know this guy. And the reality is that God's looking at the real you, the spirit. Because this is the one that he's called and declared to be this place in his body, this unique part of his body. And here we are focusing on the outside. Just like these Corinthians were focused on Apollos and Cephas and Paul, looking at the outside, looking at and focusing their attention on somebody else, not on me. I'm nothing. I can't do anything. Well, in your natural self, we can't do anything. That's the point. We got to stop identifying with this person on the outside. Because in Christ Jesus, this outer man is accounted as dead. We're the person on the inside. This is the person that God has called uniquely to fulfill a specific role in his body, is this inner person. And we have to discover what that is. And it really isn't all that complicated. If we'll spend time with the Lord, spend time in his word, the desire to do what he has called us to do is going to rise to the top. And when it does, we can't look at this outer man and say, well, you know, this outer guy doesn't look qualified to do it. It has nothing to do with it. And I find myself guilty of that probably as much as anybody else. It's not what this outer man's qualified to do. It's the inner man. It's the real you. And it's what have you done as far as fulfilling this place in the body? What have you spent time in fellowship and growing and developing? Because these are the things that are going to cause us to be qualified for God to use us to fulfill that place in his body. It's when we grow and develop on the inner man. You see, look, this just came to me back here in chapter 3, what I read a few minutes ago. Paul's correction of the Corinthians in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. See, that part right there. As long as the church of Corinth continued to just play around with the superficial things, as long as they refused to feed themselves and grow and develop spiritually, and they stayed babies. See, that's their choice. It's their choice to do it. And they can do it, and God will welcome them into the kingdom, into heaven when they leave here. But will they fulfill his place in the body? Will they fulfill that? Will they ever even know what that calling is as a baby? Well, how could they? You know, because God can't reveal these things to us if we are not qualified to hear them. He's not going to tell you something. He's not going to make you responsible for something if you're not going to be able to do it. He's not going to do something that's going to destroy you to show you something, to make you vulnerable to the enemy if you're not going to ever qualify to fulfill it. He's not going to do it. Why? Because he loves us. Thank God. Thank you, God, you love us. Thank you for your love. So let's go back here to the 12th chapter. And let's look, because in this letter we're reading right here, Paul doesn't just talk about this in this letter to the Corinthians. Paul talks about the body and the calling and our place in the body in almost all the epistles that he wrote, to the church at Rome, to the church at Ephesus, to the Colossians. Yeah, he talked about this because, well, why did he do that? Because he wants the individuals to recognize their responsibility to discover and fulfill the calling that's on their life. And it was such a paramount a paramount point that he would mention it in all of these letters. So let's look at the 12th chapter here, 1 Corinthians. We got down to verse 18. Let's go to 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. He really stressing that one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to me more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered. I want to focus on that word right there. God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Tempered. That word tempered is talking about the unity of the body. That there's no schisms. He's tempered this body so it's a flowing body, so that the movements are they're orchestrated. This is his objective. That the body of Christ in the earth would flow and move so beautifully, that each of the individual parts would harmoniously work together with the other parts of the body. And as a result, Christ's body in the earth would fulfill the plan of God. And yet, I would hate to see what the body of Christ looks like, because I can't imagine that it's all harmoniously working together. You know, you've got one person over here trying to do something on their own, and somebody over here trying to do something on their own, and they're all going in all these various directions. Why is that? Well, in some cases, it's because people are just trying to do for God instead of be the person that God has called them to be. They're trying to do instead of be. And that we talked about that here recently. You can't do enough to be a son of God. You are a son of God, and because of that, that should lead us into the doing. But so many people want to do and do in order to be, and they have the cart before the horse. It doesn't work that way. So this verse that I pointed out here, that God has, verse 24, tempered the body together. Look, keep your place there and look over at Colossians chapter 2. And we'll see how Paul said it to the Colossians. Very similar statement in the 19th verse of Colossians. Let's go to 18 first. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, and look at this, knit together. Doesn't that sound a lot like the temper that we saw that he talked about in Colossians? Let me read it. Which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. That's what God's objective is for us. That, not that we have like one shooting star and everybody just watches that shooting star and we all sit in amazement and we see some great minister and they go flying off and we just sit in awe. No. The objective is for all of us to increase, that we're all knit together, that we're tempered together, each one of us, finding and fulfilling the calling that we have in the body, our place in the body. And when we do that, the body increases. The body as a whole increases. See, I hate to say it, but it seems like when those shooting stars are around and everyone's focused on them, that the focus of attention is in the wrong place. And in some cases, the shooting stars themselves, they're focused on themselves instead of on the body. On the body and the increasing of the body. They're kind of focused on their ministry or whatever they're doing. And that's not what God wants of us. He wants us to work together. It's like I've talked about before, the hand, for example. Look at all the parts of my hand and how when they all work harmoniously together, then I can accomplish something. But if I have them and the fingers are all doing chaotic things, there's no way that the hand can be productive. But if all of the parts of the hand are working harmoniously, receiving the leadership from the head, then there can be increase. There can be growth. There can be development. Work can be accomplished. Things can happen. And that's what we need to be striving towards as individuals of the body of Christ. First of all, that we find and discover and fulfill the place, the calling that we have, that we recognize what that calling is, that we don't minimize it. Going back to 1 Corinthians 12, that we don't think of, ourselves in such a lowly way and minimize what this calling is, minimize what God has called us to do, and think disparagingly about it because it's not what so-and-so did. I want to do what so-and-so does. Well, that's what they're called to do, and they look so good at it because it's what they have been called to do, and it fits like a glove. And so, instead of wanting to do what that person's doing. We should simply want to do what we've been called to do. Because that's what's going to bring the most fulfillment in our lives. There's nothing that fulfills me. Obviously, there's fulfillment as a son of God. But when it comes to the place in the body, there's nothing more fulfilling than doing what God has called me to do, to be a teacher of the body in the body of Christ. There's nothing more fulfilling than that. Once you find that place that God has called you to fulfill, that static, unchanging calling, once you find it and you are you're nurturing, you're growing and developing, and you qualifying to fulfill that place in His body, what you'll discover is once He promotes you to the place where He can begin to use you, once He calls you out, then once there is that separating into that calling, there won't be anything else in life that will come anywhere close to fulfilling you like walking in that place does. For me, there's nothing that I could do to bring the fulfillment that I receive when I'm teaching, when the Holy Ghost is on me, when the Holy Ghost is feeding me the words to say. There's nothing like that. And the same is true for whatever you're called to do. Find it, discover it, fulfill it. Allow Him to live through you in fulfilling that place in the body that He's called you to, because that will be the most fulfillment that you'll ever experience in this life. Now, let me show you a couple other places where in Paul's letters, he talks about this. You see, if it wasn't important, why keep mentioning it in these letters? Why keep bringing it out to the church at Ephesus? Why bring it out to the Colossians? Why bring it out to the Corinthians and the church at Rome? Why? Why bring it out consistently to each one of these? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. He does it again. Is it because fulfilling that place really doesn't matter? No. He's saying it, he reiterates this because it is important. Chapter 4, Ephesians. We'll start in verse 15. Oh, let's do 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, what does that sound like? It sounds like someone that's spiritually immature, that would allow themselves to be tossed here and there, listening to wrong doctrine, being swayed by these people that are speaking wrong doctrine. He said, don't be that way. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom, here we go, the whole body fitly joined together. So, what do we have here? We have tempered. Here, he says, fitly joined together. In Colossians, what did he say? In Colossians, he said that the joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together. So, we have tempered, we have knit, and we have fitly joined. Isn't that amazing? I mean, if these aren't some of the most descriptive pictures in these words, Paul is describing a body that, you know, it's not disjointed. It doesn't have an arm that's out of joint and it's not working correctly. I mean, he's talking about a body that is just so uniquely fit together, tempered, united, and it's doing what? It's increasing. The body is increasing. How does it increase? Because more people get born into the body, and it increases. And it increases. And as it increases, individuals grow and develop, and it causes the body to increase more. See, this does not paint a picture of sitting in a church service once a week and thinking, oh, that's everything I need to do for God. I sat in church Sunday morning. That was it. No. Yeah, this is a lifestyle. These pictures that Paul's painting in these words is talking about a lifestyle. You know, this fitly joined body isn't a body that goes to, you know, maybe a service every 6 months. This is a fitly joined body that you identify your place in this body and you are working cohesively or by being orchestrated by the conductor, God. Hallelujah. All right, let's finish up over in Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Once again, Paul is talking about this body, this many-membered body. Where did we start at? We started in 1 Corinthians talking about how this was the message that seemed to rise to the top. You know, the message of your responsibility in the body, your place in the body, not looking to these individuals and identifying with them and you relinquishing all of your responsibility to fulfill your place. You know, just because so-and-so is fulfilling their place in the body doesn't mean you are. And you can't experience the fulfillment just watching them, just following after them, just being the cheering section for them. Thank God they're doing it, but we have a responsibility individually to fulfill our place. So here we are in Romans chapter 12. Let's just begin in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, this is the pathway that you walk on to come to the place where you are fulfilling your unique place in the body. You first present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Here's the next part. See, this is a step-by-step way on fulfilling your unique place in the body. Offer your body a living sacrifice. Refuse to live a lifestyle that's simply conformed to the things of this world. As long as you do that, as long as you just want to identify with the outer man and this outer world, and you refuse to identify with the inner man and the responsibility for the nourishment of the inner man, as long as you just identify with this outer man, you will not fulfill that unique place in the body. So he's saying to us, offer your body a living sacrifice. Refuse to be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. What do you renew your mind with? The Word of God. Where did we start at? We started by talking about my friend who was had such difficulties getting the Word of God inside of him because of his reading disabilities. But now, after allowing the Word to get inside of him through listening, now he has the capacity to actually read and receive from the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. So we don't have an excuse. We don't want to have excuses. You know, if it's, you know, if there's limited time constraints because of work, because of kids, because of this or that, you can use your driving time to listen to the Bible. Use your time walking your dog. Use your time, whatever, your lunch time, whatever you can squeeze out of your day. If you'll devote what you can to your spiritual development, it's going to move you to the place of fulfilling that unique place in the body of Christ. It's going to affect your desires. You may find yourself, hey, I don't know why I'm in this career path. I don't want to be here. This is not what I want. And where did this desire, this change come from? It came because of your cultivating, your nourishing the spirit man, and the desires of God became your desires, and your desires changed. You stopped wanting to do the things that were contrary to his will for you, and you started desiring to do the things that he wants you to do. Now, these are the kind of questions that people all the time have. How will I know what God's will is? First of all, just spend time with him, cultivate the spirit man, and allow his desires to become your desires, and you won't have to wonder. You know, just don't have to wonder what it is that God wants you to do. Because the desires will lead you in that path. All right, so going back here as we finish up for this evening, Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you renew your mind with the Word of God, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And how will that begin to materialize in your life? It will begin to materialize through the changing of your desires. What I was just saying. Your desires are going to begin to line up with his desires for you. And it happens because you're getting the Word of God going inside of you. His Word, his will is going inside of you, and it is affecting your desires, and you're beginning to want to do what he wants you to do. And you will know what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Because why? You'll want to do that thing that he wants you to do. Glory to God. Mystery solved. Simple as that. Well, I need to have a prophet come and prophesy over me and tell me what God wants me to do. You know, if that's what you're wanting, chances are, if you're just going out seeking that word, there's not a desire that's been cultivated inside of you to even do it, even if you heard what it was. Because you haven't developed in your spirit, man. You're going out trying to seek something really out of this natural world to, you're going running after a word instead of working from the inside out. You know, working through the development of your human spirit. See, that's what Paul's saying here in Romans chapter 12. Develop the spirit, man. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. Go through a metamorphosis, through the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God, because the desires of your heart will change as his word goes inside of you, and you'll want to do what he wants you to do. Glory to God. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, now doesn't this sound familiar? For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. It's a many-membered body. And Paul speaks about this many-membered body in virtually all of these letters that he's giving to these churches. Why? He's trying to get them on an individual level to accept the responsibility for their spiritual development so that they can not only discover the place in God's body that they've been called to, but to fulfill it because they've cultivated this this reborn human spirit. They've cultivated it with the Word of God. They have grown and developed in His desires, His will, what He wants for them has become what they want for their own lives. It's so much easier to follow the will of God when it's what you want to do anyway. Isn't it? And that's how He wants to lead us through those desires. So we have, going back again to what I said there at the beginning, we have the static, unchanging will of God. His word never changes. And we have the static, unchanging will for us individually, which is what? The calling that will never be changed, what He's called each one of us to do in His body. The place in His body He's called us to fulfill. That's the static part. Then there's the variable part. The variable part is how we walk through our life from day to day, following the leadership of the Holy Ghost, following the desires of our heart as we go through this metamorphosis because of our renewed mind, renewed with the Word of God, has brought about a change in us, has brought about a change in our desires. We want to go this direction where we're following God. And consequently, we can follow Him into what He's called us to do. And He'll begin to reveal more of His plan to us through the desires, through the inner witness. You know, He has so many ways of confirming to us what He wants to do in our lives, what He wants, how He wants to direct us, where He wants to direct us. It's amazing. You know, really, if you are locked in and focused on His word and focused on Him, you're not going to miss Him. Because He's put these mechanisms in place through getting His word inside of you, that you're going to want to do these things. You're going to want to follow Him. And the desires of your heart are going to line up with His. And it's so good to follow Jesus like this. Amen. I hope that blessed you this evening. And this is what Paul was saying to the church at Corinth. This is what he was expressing to them. The importance of the body, the importance are individual responsibilities to fulfill the calling that God has placed on our lives. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, what a word. Thank you. Thank you for the place in your body that you've called each one of us to fulfill. I thank you, God, that as we dedicate our lives to cultivating this reborn human spirit, that Father, that your desires will become our desires, that your will become our will, that all we have to do is just follow this leadership of your spirit in our reborn human spirit, and your plan for us. We won't miss it. We won't miss you. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you would like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.